Shar Bitochin in Perek Gimel, Chavis Lavoves, he writes that there's five tanoim that a person has to have to be able to properly be b'teichan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we saw in Perek Beis, he listed a list of seven prerequisites to b'tochin. The seven tanoim that if a person wants to be b'teich on someone else, another person, it has to be that person has seven tanoim to be able to be b'teich on him. And he listed all the seven. He now goes in Perek Gimel to list five tanoim to have property tochen. Chomish hakdomis hein shim adam even isan alburyun amamin behem be'emes az b'tchoinu melekimu shalim. If somebody believes, really truly believes this, these five hakdomis, then his bitachon will be rock solid. A person really has to be it, believe it. Like he says, yamin v'yizbar. Hakdomis shebirun v'amitasim yishalim lal mehedab habitachon belikim, achas mehen sheyamin v'yizbar etzloi. He says it has to be, it's like Lashon the Mesil Sesharim, sheyizbar v'yizamit. Two things. It has to be that it's clear to you that this is the MS, and it has to be that you really believe it. In other words, you know it to be true, but how much does a person really believe it? A lot of times people know things to be true, but it's in their subconscious. To really live by it is a whole nother level. But he starts off and he says, what are the five Agdamas? The first of the five Agdamas is to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all seven Tanayim that he listed in the last week. What are the seven Tanayim? Just to be misakimin. He says, he actually goes through them at length, even though last in Perek Beis he already said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has all the seven tanoim. He starts off again in Perek Gimel and he lists all the seven tanoim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. First of all, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you tremendously, much more than you love yourself, the Ribbono Shel Olam loves you. Second of all, that he's not misiach das from you. There's never a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hine Leonim Leishin Shem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never misiach das from anybody. Three, that he is Balakich as kulam, no one could prevent him from doing what he wants to do. The fourth thing is that he knows exactly what's best for a person, much better than a person knows what's best for him. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for him. The fifth thing is that he's been helping the person and leading him since his time of inception till his very last day. He leads the person and he helps the person, so he knows better than anybody else what the person needs and what's best for the person. The sixth thing is, no one could do anything to him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. What we said before is that no one could prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. We said, Shani, no one could do anything to him if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that person to do anything. Do it. And the seventh thing is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meitiv even to people that don't deserve it. And if a person thinks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only meitiv to those that deserve it, so then, okay, so I don't deserve it. Shem Yigra Machet, like we saw. Who knows? Probably HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good, and you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about me, you're right, but that's all if you didn't do Chatzayim. But it's a person that's not up to par, so in Echonami, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do what a person doesn't get, what maybe other people get. He doesn't deserve it. Those are the seven things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And he says that the Chavis Lavavitz goes and he enumerates all seven things again, even though he just said it one page earlier in Perek Beis, he says it again. And I think the nekuda of that is that really that's the best investment is the chazer shar bitochen. The best investment in bitochen in a person's life, bachal, is not just for parnasa, for all aspects of life, is shar bitochen. A person realizes his whole life that he's in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands, then it's a whole different existence. It's a whole different, and this is to chazer again and again, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one that's in charge, and it's not brainwashing. Just to clarify, what's the difference between brainwashing and Musar B'Yisraelis? Musar B'Yisraelis, you say the same thing again and again and again. Kol HaKoyis Kilo Evin Avedah Zara, Kol HaKoyis Kilo Evin Avedah Zara, Kol HaKoyis. Right? You're brainwashing yourself? What's the difference between brainwashing and Musar B'Yisraelis? The difference is that brainwashing is something that you know is probably not true, and they say it again and again and again, and they convince you till you think that it is true. However, learning Musar B'Yisraelis is something that you know to be true. It's hard for you to believe it. It's hard for you to really live it. So say it again and again until you really start living that which you really know is to be true. That's not brainwashing. the more that a person lives it, it's really a milta delay rami led the inish lavadaite. A person doesn't really think it. He knows that there's a bar ilum, and he knows that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. But the more that a person thinks about it, the more that it's a milta the rami led the inish, the more it's a daite, and the more that he lives it. There's a story with Reb Chaim Volozhin that he was once sitting by the grain, and the grain was speaking about a bunch of different things. And Reb Chaim Volozhin had leeches or something on himself for bloodletting, because he wasn't feeling so well. And all of a sudden, in the middle, the grain started talking about Inyani Bitochen. So he started being mamish mischaber to Bitochen, and he took off the leeches. He took it off. He didn't need it anymore. He felt that his mamish, his Rama Bitochen, was getting. Then the grain went to something else, and he felt his Bitochen go down, and he put it back on again. What does the story show? The story shows something which is true by every single person. Just by him, he actually worked, he lived by it. But is that there's different levels, there's different ramot, and there's different, every day it could be a different level of bitachon that a person has. And depending on what he heard, and depending what a person hears the shmuz, and he's been nisarer, and a person, it could be that nothing was nischadish in the shmuz, but he heard it again. Things that he already heard in the past, he heard it again. It's nischadish another time. That's the Indian to. So even though he said it in Perek Beis, say it in Perek Gimel, have another Chazara. That's the Indian of Bitochen, is that a person should make it a milta derami led inish. It should be, Chavis Lavavish should stay with him, Befrat, Shara Bitochen, his whole life. He should have it in his pocket. They do print them, just Shara Bitochen in a special little safer you could put in your pocket. And Chazar again and again. The last Tanai that he speaks about over here is the seventh Tanai. Actually, in this parak, he's Marech much more than he was Marech in the last parak. And that he discusses, he says, Shebor la'odam ki lechola brim shborelim hazeh yesh gbul mesurim lekamusim echusim zmanum rekeimon al gvulam asher gozar abor yizborach yev shelo hesef lo ligra. Everything in this world is finite. It's limited, it has gvulos kefi the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set out that it should be and put it into the Bria. And Af echad inu yochol laharbis es ma shaburi gozer lov shiyah ma'at v'loy lamat es ma shaburi gozer lov shiyah harbi. And nobody can make more than HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that it should be a small amount. It really doesn't help for all the animals that people think are going to go extinct. If they're supposed to go extinct, it's not going to help to put them in reserve. And if they're not supposed to go into extinct, they don't have to put them into reserve. It's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides what's going to be, and that's how it's always going to be. It could be that was the end of the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just interesting you say it. I think it's an embassy you say it. By Parshas Noach, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Noach sent out the Erev, and the Erev went back and forth, and it came back. Rashi says, Adi Beishas Amayim, means that there was really another shlichus that the Erev was supposed to do. What was that shlichus? He brought food, the Erev brought food from the Mamish, from underneath Achav's nose, actually from his kitchen, it says in Chazal. From underneath the person that wanted to kill him. It was from his very kitchen that the Irvim took food, and they brought them to Eliyahu HaNavi, and he was able to stay alive. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could be created the Irv for a specific shlichus. The whole creation of all ravens for thousands of years and millions and billions of birds was for one shlichus. That's what it's for. And it could very well be that as soon as the shlichus is over, that's it. It's extinct. There's no reason to continue it anymore. And b'meila, it's not going to help to put them into the nature reserve. Either way, they're not. Either way, it could be the different bird. Everything in this world has a gvul that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for it, and a person can't change any gvulis. And even though it looks, he's marich mamash how it looks, that to most people that it's not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the one that's kilu calling the shots here, and other people are doing things that are undermining the way that my parnasa, my business, my whatever it is that I might be doing. And the truth is that no one could do anything without HaKadosh Baruch Hu deciding that's what should be done. I just read a Peledic story that happened recently. A person got a story, somebody sent him a story that happened in Shvat Tavshin Pei almost a year ago. And it sat on his desk for, he didn't get a chance to read the story, and it sat on his desk for 9 months. So punkt, exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed the story, that's when he picked it up. That him and his partner started a maisa, started an organization, and at one point they realized that there was a little bit of a difference in opinions between the two partners. So he said his partner is a big balmidis, so he sat down with him and he spoke it over, and they said, yeah, in the Hanami we talk to see things differently, we're going to split up. Because they split up, and he continued his Meisir, and that's it. He didn't hear from his partner for a little while. All of a sudden, a few months later, he hears that his partner is opening a Meisir, an organization. Doesn't say in the story what the organization was. I guess he wanted to keep the Pratim, even though many of the Pratim were there in Mamisha. You could track it. But didn't say what the organization was. The Kitzer, he started feeling all of a sudden, it's the same type of organization that I have. And not only is he opening such an organization, but he's opening it Mamish on the same block. Mamish on the same block. So whoever's going to give to this organization, instead of the people donating to my organization, donate to his organization. Take the people away from here to him. And he was a good friend. What's going on over here? Kitzer, he's thinking about it. Mamish upset. And the story catches his eye. The story that's been sitting on his desk for 9 months catches his eye. What was the story there? The person is relating how he's a locksmith, and he's an expert in breaking open locks. And he was called down to an apartment, an abandoned apartment in Yerushalayim. Actually, gives the address of the apartment in Yerushalayim. There was a safe there, and they need somebody to pick the safe. He comes there, and there's a bunch of lawyers there, and grandchildren of whoever owned the apartment. This is an apartment that was abandoned for, they said, tens of years. Kids would just play inside, and the kids are at one point, the Yorshim decided to get together. They're going to divvy up the apartment and whatever's inside, and if there's anything left, I don't know. And they found that there was a safe that was in the apartment. The kids are, they need him to pick the safe. The kids are, he comes there, reaches for the lock, and it's open. The safe is open. Tens of years, the safe is open. He opened it up. Inside is tremendous amount of jewelry and gold and dollars. He says quickly they brought down an evaluator and lawyers and whatever it was they needed to. It was evaluated at $1,750,000. Kitzer, a few days later, he gets the same call from another grandchildren of these people. We found another in a different apartment, whatever, they left over another safe. Can you help pick it? This time we tried it first, it's locked. But Kitzer, if it's locked, and the other one which was open had it, who knows? Kitzer, he comes there, he brought his brother, who's mamish an expert, and they spent 2 hours opening the safe. They finally got it open, and what's inside? Some old silver, rusty silverware. They threw it in the garbage can, and that was the end of that. This person is saying, here you have money, a tremendous amount of money, that's just sitting there in the apartment, in a abandoned apartment, the kids are playing in for years and years and years, and it's open. And the money just stayed for the people, whoever it was, two generations, until it got to the exact person it was supposed to get to. And you could have the thing, something which is locked tight, and has nothing inside. Kein Zachnet. She says, I don't understand. I'm worried about this person that's opening a Meister next to me. The people that are supposed to give the money to me, the money's going to go to me, regardless if the guy has his Meister inside my building. And the other, we're trying to be, both of us are trying to be Ma'abit for Yishamayim. And what's meant for me is going to come to me. What's not meant for me is not going to come to me. He picked up the phone. He called his friend. He says, I heard you opening up a Meisid. I want to help you. What can I do to help you? That's exactly what the Chavetz Chabad is talking about. That in a Hanami, that you're not going to, no one is going to take away anything that belongs to you. If it belongs to you, and a person really has that akara, then in a Hanami, he's totally b'teich and a Kadosh Baruch. Tell another story that's just because it's somebody that we all know. Reb Nochum Silliman in Shlito. His father owned a grocery store. He used to sit in near Gavriel on our bench. He's Reb Yisrael Silliman's father. His father owned a grocery store. It happens to be my wife's grandparents brought the grocery store off him, so we know that it's really true. Bekitzer, there was somebody, they owned the grocery store, and Reb Nochum was a little boy at the time, and he was doing the deliveries for the store. And all of a sudden, somebody opens up a store on the same block. They were close to the Babich Rebbe. They went to the Babich Rebbe and they asked him about it. What should they do? So Babich Rebbe says, don't worry about it, because the Baruch has pronounced for everybody. He says, but that's not it. He says, go ahead and help him out, because the Baruch has pronounced for everybody to help him out. Because Reb Nachman told me what his father did for this other guy. He lent him money. Anytime that they ran out of food in the other store, he would send them over. Nachum, he would send them over, bring food to that guy's store, so that he should be able to, he should be, he have backup, he should have whatever he needs. He's like, Tav, what's going on over here? You know, we also have to make a parnasa. Machnish says, don't worry about it, Banish Nama has parnasa for us all. That's somebody that Mamish lived, it's his own parnasa, it's his own store, and he's taking stuff from his own store, sending it to his rival down the block that he should have. to end off with one more mice, actually, I didn't get to run to, but we'll leave it for next time. But there's a store in Crown Heights that, a fish store, and it was an older fish store. It wasn't so glamorous, it wasn't so shiny, it wasn't so kitzer. Somebody opened up a nice, new, spankingly clean store, maybe even smelled nice. And that's it. People started leaving the old store and going to the new store. Kitzer, somebody walks in, and he says to the storekeeper, he says, "What do you say about this guy that opened across the street? He's taking away your parnosa." He says, "Parnosa? Maybe taking away my customers, but parnosa? You can't take away parnosa. Parnosa is in charge of parnosa. Machnas dice if it's customers or if it's something else. Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of parnosa. When a person really believes that, his life is a life of menuchas hanefesh, which is really what the Midah B'tachon is supposed to bring to.